We have much to thank the Lord for, but definitely for saving our soul. That's something that we can eternally be, and will eternally be grateful for. Remember, we talked about the how the angels are praising the Lord, and if we want to be doing the things that we're going to be doing for all eternity and thanking and praising the Lord, we can get in on it right now by praising the Lord. Okay, so tonight we preached this morning on the idea of dealing with impossible situations and circumstances. Looked at the story of the New Testament character. Jesus is the stepfather, whatever you want to call him. I like to call him the man that God chose to raise his son, and talking about Joseph there. And we looked at different things about dealing with impossible situations. Talked about the importance of considering, taking the time to think and pray through and seek God's will. We also talked about trusting in the Lord and talked about not losing our marvel and the idea that we should be humble. And humble to the point that we get thankful that how God works in our hearts and lives. Tonight, I would like to take a little step farther in some of those things about considering. And one of those things I'm interested in looking at is the idea of counsel and seeking godly counsel. And the Bible talks about how there's safety in the multitude of counselors. Now, I don't think Joseph, he's there at night, and it's in a dream. I don't think Joseph consulted a lot of people. He had an angel of the Lord that came to him and specifically told him, hey, don't be worried about taking Mary, about being your wife. And so, but we're not going to see angels that way, per se. God can do anything, but the way that God works and deals with today, he gives us a place of safety. He gives us some help with safety. And it's talking about being a counselor and seeking wise and godly counsel. But there's an issue with that. What's the issue? Is that there's some counsel we should take and some counsel we shouldn't take. Think about the story about Rehoboam, Solomon's son, and he had the opportunity. The nation of Israel had come asking him to do certain things, and Rehoboam had the chance. And it talked about how the older men that stood before Solomon gave him some wise counsel. But then he ignored that counsel, and he went and spoke to those that he had grown up with, the younger counsel. And what he did, he ended up taking the younger people's counsel instead of the older people's counsel. And what happened? The nation of Israel was torn apart. And I'm not saying that the older counsel versus wise younger counsel, but I also am saying that there is safety and there is if there's spirit-filled counsel and wise individuals. So that's why we're starting off here in Proverbs chapter number 11. Look what it says in verse 14. It says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In Proverbs 24:6 says, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. And in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So tonight I'd like to look at this thought, there is safety. Where is there safety at? There's safety in a multitude of counselors. But not only just a multitude of counselors, but seeking out the right counsel. You cannot please everyone. And that's, I remember reading a story. I thought this was an interesting story. It's a fable, and I thought it was good. It says, a miller and his son were driving their donkey to a neighboring fair to sell him. They had not gone very far when they met a group of women collected around the well, talking and laughing. They looked at him and they said, look there. Did you ever see such fellows to be trudging along the road on foot when they might ride? The old man, hearing this, quickly made his son mount the donkey and continue to walk along merrily by his side. Presently, there came a group of older men in earnest debate. One says, there, it proves what I'm saying. What respect is shown to the old age in these days? Do you see that idle lad riding while his old father has to walk? And he says, get down, you young scapegrace, and let the old man rest his weary limbs. Upon this, the old man made his son dismount and got himself up on the donkey. In this manner, they had not proceeded very long, and a company of women and children were there and said, why, you lazy old fellow? They cried out at once, how can you ride upon the beast while your poor little lad there can hardly keep pace by the side of you? The good-natured miller immediately took up his son and put him behind him. Then they had almost reached the town, and when a man said, pray, honest friend, is that donkey your own? The old man replied, yes. So, oh, one would not have thought so, said the other, by the way you load him. Why, you two fellows are better able to carry the poor beast than you. Anything to please you, said the old man, we can try. So alighting with his son, they tied the legs of the donkey together, and with the help of a pole, they endeavored to carry on their shoulders over a bridge near the entrance of the town. This entertaining sight brought people in crowds to laugh at it, till the donkey, not liking the noise nor the strange handling which it was subject to, broke the cords that bound him, tumbled off the pole, and fell into the river. Upon this, the old man, vexed and ashamed, made the best of his way home again, convinced that by endeavoring to please everyone, he had pleased no one, and lost his donkey in the bargain. It's a little bit of a goofy story, but at the same time, you're not going to please everyone. Whose counsel should we take? The point of the fable is simple. No one can or should respond to the opinions of every person who offers them. You're going to find that there are many people with many different opinions. So, Pastor, then if the Bible says there's safety in the multitude of counselors, who should we listen to and who should we not? Scripture does tell us there's a safety in multitude of counselors, but it also tells us there is some counsel we should not listen to. Think about it. What does the Bible say in our theme tonight? The theme, blessed, in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the, what's the next word? Counsel, right? Of who? The ungodly. So there is something that said there's people that you're not supposed to listen to their counsel. Those that are ungodly. Now, what does the word ungodly mean? Well, in the basic term, it's a person who is not acting godly, acting godless. And that specific word is referring to someone who has a continually acting that way. So it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So according to what the scripture is saying there, we should not listen to counsel of people who are not acting godly. And we should not be interested in standing in the way of those who are on purpose sinning and those who are scornful. Bible also says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. It's interesting to note that he says, the Bible teaches us there is safety in the multitude of counselors. It talks about seeking counsel. But who is it we should listen to? But also, the Bible tells us there are certain groups we should not listen to. It's interesting that the spiritual admonitions to receive counsel often include a qualified person whom you should be seeking. You think about what it says about children. Children, for instance, are to receive not necessarily all instruction. Can you imagine if a child or a teenager listened to everything that every child or every other teenager told him? That would be a recipe for disaster. It's hard enough to listen to just your friends or those who love the Lord that are your friends. But can you imagine some children are not looking for to be kind, not looking to do what's right for the other individual. Instead, they say, I think you should do this and I think you should do that. You'll get to a spot where you begin realizing, who in the world should I be listening to? The Bible says that Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. It refers to the fact that they need to hear instruction and counsel from their parents. The Apostle Paul even talked about who he was encouraging to receive his counsel. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 through 16 puts it this way. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, imagine that. He's saying to these young believers, he says, you have many, many, many people who are going to come in the name of Christ and try to instruct you. He says, yet you have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through this gospel, referring to he was one that led them to Christ. And wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. He wants them to listen to their counsel, to forsake the counsel of those that are people that are doing things unscripturally, to those that are doing ungodly. And he says, look, you can be followers of me. Paul, and his confidence and his love for the Lord and his walk with God, he says, look, you're going to have tens of thousands of people who are going to tell you what they think is right and how you should be living this Christian life. But he says, I want you to focus on the one who showed you who Christ was and the one who brought you to the need of salvation. Counsel for godly teachers, 1 Thessalonians 5:12, it says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know that which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, that there is counsel that we receive, children from their parents, those who won someone to Christ, and that those that are discipling them, and also those who are godly teachers. So what did the Bible generally instruct us? While the Bible generally instructs us to listen to counsel, he also tells us we should be careful. If you want to, we're going to look at a couple passages in the book of Proverbs. I know you're already there, so that way you can be turning. Go to chapter 19. Look what it says in verse number 20. Chapter 19, verse number 20. Once again, the scriptures generally tell you the importance of counsel. Chapter 19, verse number 20, the Bible says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." So we be careful. It says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction." You can take your Bible to chapter 12 and go back to chapter 12 and look what verse 15 says. Proverbs 12, 15. Just a few pages, and the Word of God says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." And once again, there are some people who are foolish, and if they're not responding to the Word of God, they're going to be what's right in their own eyes. But look at the rest of the verse. "But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Proverbs 15:22, just probably a page over in your Bible. Proverbs 15, verse 22. "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors," once again, you have a multitude of counselors, "they are established. But it never instructs us to heed all opinions." It never instructs us to heed all counsel, because many times counsel, if you heeded everyone's counsel, you know what's going to happen? You're going to become very confused and not have a singular purpose in your heart and your life. One preacher put it this way. I thought this was kind of interesting. He says, if you try to listen to all counsel and everyone's opinion, that you would say, instead of saying, "I have fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith," instead you would end up saying, "I have fought others' fights. I've started many courses that umpteen people laid out for me, and I'm not really sure what the faith even is." That's what's going to confuse us when we're living for someone else and living for someone else's counsel. Or in other words, if you consider the story, you're going to end up carrying a donkey instead of riding one, because of the fact that we need to be careful on whose counsel we're taking. Say, "Pastor, okay, then if the Bible says there's a multitude of counselors, there's safety, then who should I listen to?" And here's a few questions I think you could ask yourself in deciding on what type of counsel we should listen to. And we're going to look at some verses that go along with that. So whom should we receive counsel? And I believe that these five questions will be helpful to us. And I think they are something that is consistent with some admonitions that are found in scriptures and also some reasonably thinking. First thing I want you to think about when you're seeking someone's counsel is the person truly concerned about the situation. Do they truly care about you? I've seen people seek after counsel to people who could care less, who do not want to listen to the whole story, who many times have their own personal stake in the situation. They look at it based off of their own personal opinion. They don't care about what the end looks like. Instead, they care about their personal stake in the situation. The Apostle Paul spoke to those in 1 Thessalonians. And as he's there, he speaks about how he cares. It says in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." If you're going to seek out counsel for someone, it should be someone who has invested, someone who cares, someone who you know cares about you and is concerned for you and wants what God's will is for your life. Now you say, "Well, Pastor, can you get counsel from someone you never met?" Well, you think about it. The book of Colossians was written. The Apostle Paul wrote that. He never met the people in Colossae, but at the same time, he was able to, in the scripture, write that. But the majority of the time, the people you're going to seek wise counsel from is those who care about you, those who are concerned for you, those who want to see God's will done in your life. 1 Thessalonians 2:11, just a few verses later, "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children." So when we're seeking counsel, I truly believe it's best to seek out someone who cares for you, someone who loves you, a mentor, is a wonderful counsel, a spiritual leader in your house or inside your family or inside your church family. You know, those type of things, those people who care and are interested in what you desire, seeing God's will done in your life. Not someone who has a personal stake in it, but instead someone who is going to care about you and care about those things that God wants for you. The second thing I think is really important, probably the key one, is this person spirit-filled? Is this person demonstrating being Spirit-filled? Is this person being Spirit-filled? However you want to write it. But the truth is the matter, the people we should look at, we should look at and look for people in council, people that we believe that are spiritually filled, those Spirit-filled, those that are growing in their walk with the Lord, those that we would like to be like in their Christian lives. We see a characteristic. We see how God is working in their life. We see how God's responding. Now, we're not talking about we just want to be like them because of the things that they have, or maybe the family they have, or the position they have, or the job they have. No, because those counsel things, that we don't know the whole story. But over here, if you see God working in a person's life, and you see God responding, and maybe it is a godly marriage, maybe you do see a husband and wife who really love one another, or you see children that are loving the Lord and wanting to serve the Lord, and you might go look to those parents and ask them for godly counsel because you see God working in their hearts and life. But is this person Spirit-filled? Do their actions and their attitudes support the claim that their counsel is biblical, based, and spiritual led? Because we all should be seeking counsel of people who says, this is what God would want you to do. This is what the Bible says we should do. This is something that is spiritually led. But when we look at it and we consider the litmus test, when we consider, is that person Spirit-filled? Is this something that's biblical? Is this something that's true? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, it says, and be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Go ahead and take your Bibles to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. The scripture is given by inspiration of God, and as all scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible is there, and what the person that can do best when their counsel is to give you counsel according to the scriptures and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is our counsel? Is that person Spirit-led? You say, well, how can you tell? Well, in Galatians chapter number 5, there is the fruit of the Spirit. But even before the fruit of the Spirit, it talks about the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, look what it says in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're being led by the Spirit of God, you're not going to act fleshly. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now he begins to describe the things that what the flesh looks like. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so they're showing you here, this is what the flesh looks like. So if we're seeking godly counsel and the person is not demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit and they're demonstrating their counsel with these type of things, you know that it's not Spirit-led or Spirit-filled. Look what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So this is where you're going to see what is inside coming out. And we got to remember this. If we're looking for Spirit-filled counsel, we're not looking for man's opinion. We're not looking for another person's opinion, because in our own flesh, we can come up with those things on our own. But just like our heart is desperately wicked and is deceitful above all things, their heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. We need people, an individual that is seeking the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. And you will see the response that comes out of them is things that are filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And he said, well, I can't do that. You can't. But when you're filled with the Spirit of God, it actually comes out naturally. And then you continue on, and it talks about in verse number 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. They're not making excuses for their flesh. You're not saying things, well, everybody struggles with something, and everybody struggles with this. No, they're crucifying their flesh. They want nothing to do with their flesh. They're saying, I don't want these things in my heart. I don't want these things in my life. And it says in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And so often that's where the counsel comes to. How can I provoke someone? Or someone harmed you. Let's see a way that we can get back at them. Or because someone did something, we become envious of them. Let's see how I can get that back. And we got to remember, if we're truly seeking God's counsel for our heart and God's counsel for our life, these are things that are showing up. And if these are things that are in your heart and in your life that you're saying, I'm working these works of the flesh more than I am the works of the Holy Spirit of God, let us get our hearts right. And let us see what comes out naturally as we surrender our hearts and lives. Because as we're spirit-filled, the Bible speaks about how it will come out naturally in us. And remember, the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we have people point us to the scriptures. That's what a spirit-filled person will. They'll do. They'll point people to God. They'll point people to the scriptures. Next thing I want you to think about is another way, another question you can ask. Is the person truly cares or concerned for you? Are they spirit-filled? Next question is, it might seem a little bit different, but does this person advertise his opinion and issues to others? Go ahead and go back to your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter number 11. There are those with godly counsel and those that you seek counsel. There are people who keep things private, as it talks about here in the scriptures. And then there's others who will take the things that you've asked them and go spread it around. And it's important to remember not to be a talebearer, not to be something that is telling stories. But truth is truth. And yes, sometimes truth needs to be dealt with publicly. But godly people know how to keep their lips sealed. They aren't trying to build a platform by giving personal counsel publicly. They're not trying to make something make someone look look bad. They're not trying to build a reputation off of treating someone else wrong. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 11. Look what it says in verse number 9. It says, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. So a person who is saying one thing and doing something different, they're a person who's going to destroy their neighbor. They're not the person that's concerned. They're not the person that's spirit-filled. But a person that is truly being just, they'll be delivered. Look what it says in verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Now, once again, we need to be careful. Now, once again, some things must be dealt with publicly when they are brought public. But at other times, we got to remember it's not our job to go revealing secrets when someone came to us. When there's a counsel, when someone comes to talk to me, I keep it as much as I can privately. Many times people come up to my wife and they said, well, you know, because, and they assumed that I've said something to my wife, and she'll look at them and like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's because there's some things that should remain private. And if you're seeking someone with godly counsel, you should be very careful on who you seek it, because there are people out there that will be talebearers and that will go around spreading the things that maybe you're struggling with or the things that you're seeking counsel for. But the Bible says here, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Another thing, I heard a preacher one time tell me, I heard him tell other people too, if you're not going to listen to my counsel, don't ask for it. And I understood what they're saying, because in a spiritual leadership position, I get that. But also the Bible says there's a multitude of counselors. If there is one person, and if there's a person that does not want to be part of a few or many counselors, that's someone you want to be careful with. A person who insists that theirs is the only accurate opinion, that theirs is the only accurate counsel, and you do not need to seek others and does not encourage you to talk to other godly counsels, they may have a personal agenda in the counsel. They may have a personal agenda in what they're giving you. So be careful with that. Now, once again, I get it. When there's parentals giving it, children, pastors giving it, I understand that. But oftentimes when another preacher will call me or someone that will seek advice, especially outside my church family, not only will I give them the counsel and pray about it and think about it and consider, like they talked about Joseph this morning, but I'll give them the names of godly other people to talk to. And because I know I haven't arrived, I know I don't have the corner on the Holy Spirit of God, that God works through other people. And many times I'll ask them, have you spoken to other pastors? Have you spoken to other people that you want to be like spiritually? And it's not only ever always pastors. There's godly men in my life that I will call and say, hey, here's an issue and here's a situation. Can you give me some counsel? Because I love to see just more perspectives than just what a man of God or a pastor may say. It's people that are part of churches and been part of churches for years. So it's important to understand, is the person, is someone that's going to be willing to admit that there's other people you should talk to too. Look what it says in verse 14 in chapter 11. It says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Once again, it's multitude of counselors. So I would encourage you to seek after people who truly love you and concern for you, those that are spirit-filled, those who know and can be discreet, and those also that it's not going to be offended just because you ask somebody else. Once again, I had a pastor tell me, hey, if you're not going to take my opinion, don't ask for it. And I thought that sounded a little bit off, but at the same time, I understand the reason why they said it. But the Bible says a multitude of counselors. There's different perspectives that people can see from different angles that could be helpful. Last but not least, does this person have a position of biblical-based authority in your life? Is this someone that you should be listening to? You know, because when you're going down this list, is this somebody, should you just completely ignore something that God has put as an authority in your life? And the Bible talks about in Hebrews 13, 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you. So there's those that God has put in spiritual leadership roles in your life, whether it's your pastor or your parents or, you know, just the husband being the head of the house. There's different roles that are there. We should be willing to recognize what God has instituted, not what I've instituted, not what man has instituted, but what God has instituted. And remember, wise people will learn from these different types of people. Those that care for you, those who are spirit-led, those who are not going to go running around talking about it to everybody else, those who are going to make sure they're not going to be offended because you talk to others in the multitude of counselors, and those who God has given to you as an authority in your life to help. But also, you say, Pastor, you mean you can't learn from critics? You can. I'll be honest with you, there's been many times when I've learned from critics as well as friends. So just because somebody might not meet the criteria of being spirit-filled and being a spiritual leader, or you can definitely learn from other people in other situations, but you're not going to make them your counselors. You're not going to allow them to become a wide open interest to speak into your life and say, this is what I think you should do. And this is what, there's a few men in my life that if I tell a situation to, they do not feel uncomfortable at all just saying, hey, what you did there was wrong. This is what I would have done. And they saw me doing something or heard that I did something. I have no problem. I've even asked them, give me a call. If there's something you think we could change, is something we could do better, they are someone who I believe that care about me and that are spiritually led. And there are people who I know would be discreet and people who I believe that are people who aren't going to be going spreading it around and desire what's best for me. And they're people who I allow to speak into my heart, into my life. Now, I have lots of people come with lots of opinions and give me lots of advice when it comes as a pastor. And as it's sort of like the same story we talked about at the beginning, some people will say, hey, look, you should be riding the animal. Some people should say the boy should ride. Some people will say the father should ride. Some people think that both of them riding is going to be unfair to the animal. Some people think, hey, you should carry the animal. You know, there is going to be a lot of different opinions out there, but who do we listen to? Who do we go to? Who is it? Because the Bible says there is a place of safety. That safety is found in those who care about you and those who are spirit-led and spirit-filled and those who know how to be discreet and those who know what the Lord and desire what the Lord's will is for your life. So remember, even when someone is being critical, you can learn from them. I've learned much from people who have criticized me. I've learned many times to just to chew on it for a little while, like one preacher says, and spit it out. But you can learn from that. Because sometimes it's brought up something that I can see how another person responds to it. And as I look at those questions, I'm reminded of people who've helped me over the years. And I'm reminded of people who love the Lord and who love me. And I am so thankful for that godly counsel that people have given us. There's people that God has put into my heart and put into my life, and the people inside this church who I really, truly value their opinions. Now, I don't play favors. I don't say, well, that person's opinion is going to mean more to me than the other person's going to. But if there's someone who I see that God's working in their heart and God's working in their life and that God's moving in their heart and their life, and you see the direction they're heading, and they come and they have an interest or a desire, it's godly counsel that we're looking for and that we're seeking, because there is a safety in a multitude of counselor. Many people share their opinions. Sometimes they're helpful opinions. Sometimes they're not helpful opinions. Sometimes it's based off the works of the flesh, and they're trying to cause animosity, and they're trying to cause strife, and they're trying to cause envying, and they're trying to provoke. Like we talked about, those that are spirit-filled are not going to do that. But at the same time, there's many who, in doing what they believe is right and doing what is best, we must remember that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Go back to that story about King Rehoboam. Young man getting ready to become the king of God's chosen people. God gave him an opportunity of men that would help give him counsel that would help him succeed. He chose to say no. And as he chose to say no, he turned around and he went to a group that did not have the same counsel, that was not as wise. And in the end, he ended up having the nation be torn apart. So in our lives today, whose counsel are you seeking? Who is it that you listen to? Who has your ear? Or who do you give ear to, I guess? I don't know what the right word to say is. But who is it that you actually look for counsel from? Be very careful. Be very cautious. You say, Pastor, I don't have anyone like that in my life. Pray for it. It's so necessary. It's so important who you turn to. And I'm not talking about being busybodies. I'm not talking about gossiping. I'm not talking about how some people will say, hey, I got a prayer request, and all they want to do is just unload with somebody else's life is looking like, and they want to run somebody else through the mud. And they want, that's not number one, that's not a person who cares. And that's not a person who's spirit-led. And it's someone that we must remember that it's God that we're trying to please with our hearts and our lives. So when we are talking today about Joseph, I felt like as we studied that passage and we came to a moment in time where Joseph, he thought on these things, I felt like we left off a part, because obviously Joseph didn't have a multitude of counselors when he dealt with Mary. I'm sure he had counselors in his life beside that, but I wanted to see and include this in this thought. What do you do with difficult situations? You think on these things, you consider these things, you look in the scriptures, but there is safety that's found in the multitude of counselors. So you take it, you find it, you consider it, and then you trust in the Lord with whatever that next step is. But do not lose the marvel. Do not lose the idea that God is working and that God is moving, that God does all things and God does all things well, and they're marvelous in our sight when we will learn to trust in Him. It's amazing what God could do. At the end of Joseph's life, I'm sure it was something that he got to be the person that God chose to raise Jesus as a son. What a privilege and an honor. He could have messed it all up by just overreacting with what Mary had said and just turning out and says, well, this is the way it's got to be. Let's remember, seeking counsel, the Bible says, their safety. Find some good friends. Now, they might not be your best friends. A couple of these gentlemen that are mentors in my life, I particularly don't enjoy anything that they enjoy. It's our relationship is based off the scriptures, and I love the way that they love the Lord. I love the way that they have had ministry experience and all these other things, but they're not somebody that I would enjoy going spending Thanksgiving with or Christmas with or going out and hanging out for a weekend with them, unless it was around the Bible and scriptural things. We're different personalities sometimes. But if you will find people that you can trust to help be your counsel, the Bible says there's some safety there. And hopefully you can trust your wife or your husband, that they're someone who loves the Lord and seeks the Lord and desires, and you can have a good time and confide in them and have counsel with one another. Hopefully there's people God's brought in your life. If not, seek out wise counsel. Look for wise counsel. Find someone that is spirit-led and spirit-filled. And I tell people, especially young people, when they're looking for a mate, look for someone that you want to be like spiritually, someone who has a love for God already, is demonstrating the love for the Lord, demonstrating a heart for God, demonstrating no one's going to be perfect, obviously, but at the same time, a desire, and that the fruit of the Spirit is being bared in their life, because you're going to be living with them for the rest of your life. seek wise counsel. And so as Joseph, back then, I don't think he got to go seek wise counsel, but the Lord put the angel of the Lord in his life, and the angel of the Lord told him. He trusted and he obeyed. What God has given us many times is wise counsel. And I'm thankful for those that I had the opportunity to help and give counsel to. There's other people who I know that particularly don't trust or choose not to ask me questions, which is fine. But at the same time, that's something that I encourage and I enjoy doing. And I learn much from those who give godly counsel. I learn other things from people that give a different criteria. They show me and help me understand certain things. And the Lord can use any of those counsels. Be careful, though. If you're not right with the Lord, be honest with somebody and say, you know what? I think someone else could help you a little bit more with this. Oftentimes, when we feel like someone comes and asks us, can you give me some advice here? Now, once again, if you're right with the Lord and you're spirit-led and that person comes, help them as much as you can. But I've heard, and it's a dangerous spot, when people have a stake in the matter or they care more about the situation than they do about the individual, and they tell what they feel, but they're not spirit-led, it's a very dangerous ground to be in. I use the example of David and Saul. Saul's there. Saul is an authority in David's life. He's king. He's not a spiritual authority. And Saul says, here, let's put the armor on you, David. You need this help fight Goliath. He didn't need it. Saul should have been the one fighting the battle, but because he was fearful and he was this or he was that, he didn't fight the battle, and David did. And I think about the story of Rehoboam. He had these older men that he says, I don't want to listen to you. He went to these younger ones, and these younger ones were thinking, hey, if he gets to become king and he becomes this, we get to become his counselors. We're going to be someone who is going to be lifted up, and we're going to get to reward it when he treats all these other people wrong and bad. It's what does God want for your life? And then ask God to make you a counselor to others who are in need, and that we would honestly seek God's will and God's plan for individuals' life. So that way we could be someone that is that type of counselor. Are you someone that God could come, that God would allow someone to come to and you could give godly advice to because you care, because you're spirit-led and spirit-filled, because you are someone that's able to keep things discreet, because of the fact that God has moved and worked in your life? He desires that from us. We can help all different types of people. And it doesn't matter what position you have or what title you hold or don't hold, God can use you to be a blessing to someone else. The Bible says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. But he talks about what the godly looks like. His delight is what? Is in the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he meditate day and night. Then he begins talking about being a tree planted by the rivers of water and all those other things. There are certain counsel you do not have to take. You should not listen to. Those that are acting ungodly, producing the works of the flesh. But do not shy away from godly counsel. God has given that as an avenue. And he's even said, there is safety in a multitude of counselors. Let's pray.